Welcome to Hype, episode 136. My name is Selena. I'm back this week with Pam and Marima for another week of exciting pop culture entertainment news stories. I wasn't here last week. You managed without me somehow.
We missed you.
We did miss you. I think that's why I saw on Twitter that you were like, why does it feel like it's been so long? I think it's because we three haven't been together in so long that it feels like it's been longer.
That's true.
Because I think before, like, the last show that I just did with you, and then I took a week off, and then this last week it was just me and Marima, so it's like the gang's back together.
Oh, yeah. It's because we're feuding.
Yeah, it's true.
Hype, this is the hype breakdown.
Because we don't actually like can't agree to all be on.
Nope. And we don't talk between shows ever.
Scandal.
We had a good run.
130 some odd episodes.
It's pretty That's good. True.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
Well. That time.
Okay, yeah. Bye.
Okay, so anyway, while we're still here, we should talk about some news stories. But before we do, as always, we do want to remind you of our contact information, because, of course, a huge part of the show is getting feedback from you guys, not only, you know, we love you. We hate you. Talk about this. Don't talk about that. But also just in general, what you think, what is catching your attention in fandom? You know, we want to hear what you're watching, what you're reading, what you're listening to. And we especially want this now that we've launched our Patreon. And if you're interested in being a patron, obviously, when you send stuff in for us, that gets a priority in a Patreon bonus listener question segment and all that kind of stuff. So if you do want to send in your feedback, you can do that by emailing hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter @HypeableHype. You can find us on Tumblr @hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can find us on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. And if you do want to check out our Patreon, which is no longer free, like February is over now, so the free month is done. And if you had a chance to check out some of the stuff we did, and if you're curious to get more, or if you just want to support the show by however much or little you feel like doing that, then you can head over to our Patreon site, which is patreon.com/hypepodcast. We actually have a pretty cool announcement to make, which is that we reached our first Patreon goal of $100, which is really awesome. We are super excited, and this even more exciting, and thank you so much to everyone. You guys are so amazing, and we're super excited because now we get to do a commentary special for a movie of your choice, which is going to be super fun. I'm stoked for this.
I kind of have like a couple of guesses as to what people are going to want us to talk like.
Oh, what do you think?
I think it's going to be like one of the Harry Potters or like Love Actually or Bridget Jones. Like,
oh my God. Or Spy? I mean, well, that's not a
Spy
would just be me and Selena like crying with laughter and Pam being like, get it together.
I was going to say like, I feel like you guys, like, whenever we decide how to vote and how to do that and stuff, like, you should be aware that any Harry Potter track would be filled of snark from me and Marima.
Yeah, and I'm like, just going to be like, you guys, it wasn't fans. So bad. I'm going to have to, like, carry the burden for everybody that thought the movies were fine.
So, yeah, but just to warn you, if you're into that, then go for that. But if you're not,
that you know what? That's a fair warning, though, because then we don't get messages back being like, why did you guys, like, why were you only negative? Like, just remember, you reap what you sow, patrons. So,
yeah, I mean,
decide what you want to hear.
Oh, well, it'll be fun.
So much fun anyway. Yeah.
We'll throw a poll up. We'll put a post in Patreon. Yeah. You guys can make suggestions, then we'll have a poll and we'll probably do something that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. And this week's Patreon segment is actually going to be an extended discussion of what we're doing for How We Hype, which is obviously we're going to talk about the Oscars. So obviously a huge, exciting, well, some more exciting than others, stuff happened at the Oscars. And we do want to make sure that everyone who subscribes and who listens to this show gets our general thoughts on it. But if you're interested in a more sort of in-depth discussion with maybe some of the smaller moments that we aren't going to spend time talking about on the main show, then we will have that extended discussion up as a Patreon bonus segment. And that's correct me if I'm wrong, that's available to everyone, no matter the level, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's any patrons. The basic tier. Yeah, patron only. If you pledge $2, you get access to the bonus audio. That was like very important for us to make sure everybody got that. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that might be fun. If you want more of our thoughts, or if you're super bored or whatever, then head over there and see what else we talked about. But I think it's time that we actually just dive into our How We Hype Oscars theme. And yeah, what do we think?
Where to start?
What about that plot twist, huh, guys?
I saw someone be like, hey, La La Land, remember when you gave us that really fun ending and then took it away? How does it feel? I was like, oh, that's mean.
That was the best joke.
That is the best joke.
So, yeah, just to sum up really briefly, obviously the Oscars were on Sunday night. It was a big sort of, we were expecting, actually it's interesting because I think I was at least expecting a lot more exciting show than what it ended up being. I was extremely bored for most of it, although of course most of the people that won awards I was actually pretty happy with one major exception. But it wasn't really that interesting of a show until that ending, which obviously no one could have predicted, which, you know, if you somehow don't know, which there's no way you don't know, but just in case, let's pretend that someone listening doesn't know. The Best Picture Award was announced wrongly by Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, who had been given the wrong envelope. The envelope they had been given read Emma Stone, La La Land, so they for Best Actress, so they declared Emma Stone the Best Picture winner, La La Land the Best Picture winner, and you know, La La Land people came on stage, they were super excited, they started making speeches, and then a producer ran out on stage and had to clarify that actually it was Moonlight that won, and Moonlight had to come up on stage and give a very, unfortunately, a very rushed thank you speech. And honestly, I mean, we'll definitely get into talking about this, but honestly, this was just terrible for everyone involved, because first of all, you know, Moonlight, it should have been Moonlight's moment, 100%. It should have been a huge triumph. We shouldn't be talking about some huge, like, controversy instead. But it also just, I feel so bad for the La La Land people, because, like, however much I thought Moonlight deserved it and however happy I am that they won, there's no getting around how shitty this was. And
oh, yeah, totally sucks.
Like, champs, and it was all good, but oh my god, what a thing to happen.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel handled it really badly, and his hosting was the worst. Like, he's not funny.
Yes.
I hope we can all just get on board with the fact that, like...
He was worse than Neil Patrick Harris.
Like, he was, and Neil Patrick Harris had that briefcase thing. I mean, you know, whatever. And also the Jimmy Kimmel-Matt Damon feud thing, that's also not funny. Like, yeah. No one cares. The only funny joke about that the whole night was when they announced as presenters Ben Affleck and guest... And the
yes,
guest was Matt Damon.
Funny,
like,
yeah.
That was funny. But the whole, like, we bought a zoo and just all the other stuff, I was like, no one cares about your stupid fake feud and you're not a funny person. And then when he had to come up and, like, clarify about the Best Picture things, he said to La La Land, oh, you guys should just keep it as well. It's like, what is wrong with you? So that, I think that made things any better.
Yeah, and just to that point with Jimmy Kimmel, I was watching his segment on his talk show where he explained what happened, and he actually said, the thing I took away from it was that the main reason that Moonlight even got to make a speech was because Denzel Washington was sitting in the front row just shouting Barry Jenkins' name. You know, like, Jimmy Kimmel was there, like, trying to make a joke and trying to be funny, and Denzel was like, you know, what the hell are you doing? This is Moonlight.
Oh, good.
So, I
thank
mean,
God
good
for Denzel.
Thing he was there.
Oh, that's, I mean, mess. Yeah, it was, well, Jimmy Kimmel was never going to be allowed back to host, so we can say one thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the Best Picture, I guess maybe we'll get into some of the other awards in our bonus segment, but I think this was the best outcome as the end. Like, Moonlight should definitely have won, but... Mm-hmm. I genuinely really enjoyed La La Land. I did not think it was a Best Picture, but I would not have been at all surprised, and I don't think anyone would have been if it had won. We were all expecting that to be the result. So very, very exciting for Moonlight, but of course you would not wish this on anyone. Like, that's really horrible, and I think the La La Land producers particularly that one producer handled it very well. But at the same time, it's sad that the story has become about how well they handled it versus like how exciting for Moonlight. It's like the first all black movie to win. I mean, it's not about slavery. It's not about like being a maid. It's an LGBT story. Like this is, it was an indie movie, you know, this is hugely groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, from now on, it was very exciting and, you know, we all freaked out and like, I lost my mind on Twitter a little bit. And I think most people did, but, I'm trying from now on to make it more about the fact that Moonlight won and less about the way that it happened.
Well, and I will say, I was just like trying to let you guys get your thoughts out so that I could jump in. I think that the good thing is that a lot of the think pieces I have seen, like people are very aware of the fact that in the heat of the moment, it was about the flub, but most of the think pieces I've seen after it are of what we've been talking about, which is that
yeah, that's true.
It should really be about how amazing Moonlight is. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet. I saw it a couple of weeks ago and I said on the show that it was like my favorite of all of them and I was hoping it would win and everyone was like, oh, but La La Land's gonna win, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you never know. Like the Academy does have a chance to actually pick the right winner here, and if they are going to practice what they preach with like this new idea of like introducing more diversity into the Academy Awards, then Moonlight is, it ticks all of those boxes. So it was really nice to see that despite the flub, the Academy did take all of that into consideration, because everybody's argument was that La La Land was the clear winner because it celebrates Hollywood and Hollywood likes to pat itself on the back, and for once mm-hmm. Hollywood did what they should have done, which was celebrate everything that they've been trying to slowly fix about the industry. So that was really nice. And the movie is wonderful. So I feel like a lot of people, like it might, the idea of Moonlight before the Academy Awards might not have been everybody's cup of tea, but now that it's officially a Best Picture winner, like I'm just so happy because it's such a beautiful film. It's so important. And if it like opens the doors for more audiences to see it, you can actually stream it right now on Amazon, by the way, if you haven't seen it, then that's like always a good thing in my eye. So
I agree. I think that's what, I mean, I'm just, and I know that I've seen this on Twitter too. Twitter's full of witty insight into this, but I was just imagining if this had been the other way around, you know, like if, you know, they had read out like Moonlight and it had ended up being La La Land, like we would not be laughing about it now. But I think just because of how it happened, it was almost like, I don't know, it was definitely best case scenario under the circumstances. And I think that, as Pam said, I think people are able to separate the importance of this win for Moonlight and for Hollywood in general and for the types of stories that Hollywood needs to be promoting and that will get celebrated for it, from the fact that this was a total tragedy, horrible, ridiculous, just all around, just perfect mistake that it was, because there's nothing about this. The fact that it was like Bonnie and Clyde of all people who ran out the, like, you know, this is, they have been planning this long con for 50 years, like the joke write themselves. And I'm sure we will be super, super, super tired of parodies of this moment in years to come. But for now, I think it's still pretty funny. James Corden did a bit where he sang as Emma Stone, La La Land, about the moment when he thought he won.
Oh yeah, I just saw that, the audition. He did like his rendition of the audition.
And I guess sort of to that, I will just say, since last time I was in the show, because I'd only seen Hidden Figures, but since then I've actually also seen La La Land. And I think, I mean, I had the same problem with the ending that I have with the Rogue One, and I just really don't like when they do this. But I think it was so sweet. And now that I know it hasn't won Best Picture, I'm, you know, there was a little bit of that grudging, like we talked about that before, that because it was nominated above all of these other movies, it was easy to look at it and go, yeah, yeah, but it wasn't that good. But now that it didn't win, it's easier to be like, yeah, it was pretty good.
So you changed your mind, because I thought I saw on Twitter that you didn't really like it very much.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah,
I didn't buy into the romanticism and the escapism of it. Like, it was I'm not saying it was a bad movie, and I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it, but I'm definitely too cynical to appreciate
oh.
the kind of that what it did. And I read a lot, you know, how it's a love letter to Hollywood and all that. And I just, I don't know. I'm not a huge, you know, I don't live in LA. I've never been to LA. I have no connection to LA. And I don't, you know, I feel like having watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I'm not super impressed by, I don't know. It wasn't my cup of tea, but it doesn't mean that I didn't think it was a good movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's easier to sort of come to that now that this has happened.
Well, I really
also
hope,
because I feel super bad for
honestly,
it.
I really hope that more people, change their minds a little bit, because I did feel really bad that, like the movie got so overhyped that people like ended up being like the cool thing to hate La La Land because it got so much hype, and it really like made me sad because I really loved that movie. And we talk about this with like even like cheesy action movies sometimes on here. Like sometimes you just need a good escape. The movies have mm-hmm. always historically been wonderful for that reason. Like if you take a look at the Great Depression in the 20s, like Shirley Temple allowing people to escape their like dreary lives for one moment and have like 2 hours of happiness. Like if La La Land can give people that, I think that that's really lovely. So I hope that, you know, more people give it a second look now that it has, like, it didn't sweep the awards. It didn't become, like, an Avatar or, like, a Titanic. Like, maybe now that, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe now it'll be cool again to kind of, you know, enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, I totally agree.
There's never a case to hate a movie you haven't seen. You know, like, mm-hmm. I think that's ridiculous.
But even people that did see it.
But, yeah, but that's the thing for me is that, you know, it's really great that it's offering people an escape. What I'm saying is that it wasn't my kind of movie. Like, I didn't enjoy it very, very much. I enjoyed it. My brother loved it. Like, it's his favorite movie. And I, you know, and that's the kind of thing where I was, if it had gone and won Best Picture, I would have been like, but is it really the Best Picture of the whole year? You know, but I think it's okay to not like it, you know, like at the same time. And I think the reason maybe some people were like, don't let it win, is because they didn't buy into it, but that doesn't mean you can't appreciate that other people bought into it. You know,
I mean, look, this is not directed at you, because obviously like you have your reasons for not liking it, but I totally agree with Pam. There is like a big group of people who heard the critical reviews and like heard people talk about it and then went and saw it. And then, you know, everyone was saying, this movie is amazing. Like, this movie is so beautiful. Oh, my God, the end of it. So emotional, et cetera, et cetera. Love the music, whatever. And then they saw it and were like, oh, this is crap. Like, this is terrible. I hate this. This is the worst musical. Like, you know, this is just, I mean, whatever mm-hmm. it was. And it was completely irrational, frankly. And it was, there are some valid criticisms to make of La La Land, totally. But, like, the amount of pushback that it got was exactly what Pam was saying, I think, was this trend, basically, of just, it was cool to like this and now it's not. And, you know, you saw basically the same people write like the think piece about why it was groundbreaking and then why it was, you know, terrible. And so like, again, there are a lot of great movies on this Best Picture list, and it's not like La La Land doesn't need the promotion of the Oscars. Something like Moonlight, that's like the most beautiful thing about the Oscars, say what you will, but like we hadn't heard about Moonlight before and now everyone wants to see it. So that's a great mm-hmm. thing. And it's a great thing that people want to go and see Fences and people want to go and see Lion and, you know, Hidden Figures, right? Like there are all of these movies that are getting like these big bumps, but La La Land did not need that. But at the same time, like, yeah, I mean, it's a fun movie. It's a really beautiful movie, and it picked up a few awards for that reason. Some
I really think
more
it
deserving
won
than others, but yeah.
I think it won what it, like, honestly, like, in my opinion, most of what it won for, like, I'm happy with. I think it won for what it should have won for.
I think cinematography for me was the thing that I really wanted it to win, La La Land, because that for me was really gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I was happy with that one. That was like on the top.
I don't think
list.
Emma Stone should have won, although I'm a big Emma Stone fan, but anyway, we should
get into
this for our segment.
Yeah. Yeah, because I have some thoughts.
Head over to Patreon. Yes. Yes.
So,
patreon.com/hypepodcast for more.
Let's just talk quickly about Jimmy Kimmel as host. We all agree he was the worst.
Mm. Yeah, yes. But what were we expecting? Like, Jimmy Kimmel, like, it was just an extension of his show. I don't know.
Yeah, and his show isn't funny.
Yeah. So, well, like, I don't know. I think I just, like, as soon as he was announced, I kind of was expecting, Like, I knew what I was going into. I didn't think he was going to tone it down. I figured he would, like, you know, get the cheap laughs at, like, other people's expenses. Like, it just didn't surprise me. That's all. Like, should he have done something different? Yeah, but I wasn't expecting it. So,
yeah,
I think I got what I paid for, basically.
His comedy is that annoying mix of bland and mean. So, it's like, that's what you get when you hire Jimmy Kimmel.
I was trying to be optimistic when he was announced, and I was thinking, you know, with the political climate as it is, with everything as it is, like getting this bland, you know, dude to come up there and do his thing. I thought that through Jimmy Kimmel, it would be a vehicle to actually make some kind of statement. But this, the Oscars were so tame compared to every single other award show, also in terms of speeches, although the speeches were much better, but just in compared to the fury and vigor of the other award shows, it was all toned down. And the joke, like when he tried to bait Donald Trump into tweeting, was the most cheap, ridiculous, desperate, just hair ruffle level frustrating to watch, because I'm so sick. Like, either leave the man out of your show completely or take the chance to you know, make some kind of point with it. Don't just play into. So that really infuriated me. The bit where he brought the people in, I know there's been a lot of criticism of how he made fun of names and stuff like that, but the thing that just really got to me, and that wasn't, to be fair, Jimmy Kimmel's fault, but was how they all came in with their phones. Something inside of me like broke a little bit, because I know that we're on our computers a lot and we are on our phones a lot and we, you know, are in the media, so it's kind of our thing. But I don't know. I just, that image to me says so much about where we are
as if you wouldn't have your phone out at that moment, though. Like, we all would.
Wasn't it?
But isn't that what's sad, though?
Yeah, but
isn't that? I don't think it's sad. No, I really don't.
So sad.
I totally disagree. It doesn't bother me.
I wasn't gonna talk about that, but I was reading Kyle, who writes for, well, you guys all know Kyle Duck because he used to be on Hype, but also writes for Hypeable, wrote a piece about this, and somebody in the comments, I would have to watch the clip again, I don't know if you guys have, somebody in the comments said that they were all holding up Samsung phones, so do we know if it was like an ad or like a paid spot for Samsung or not? Like, not that it makes it better, but that would make more sense. Like,
if it's,
it would be something interesting to, like, go back.
I hate the idea of watching live through your phone. It really made me sort of rethink my own priorities. So I guess if nothing else, I got something good out of it. But so I hated that. And then I also, the last thing I wanted to say was just, was this, this might have been Neil Patrick Harris' show where they opened with this huge, this huge musical number. It was so gorgeous. And even though the show was so downhill from there, I kept thinking, that stupid Trolls music that they opened the show with, like, why the hell didn't they make some kind of point with La La Land or with something, make the stars go up there, do something, anything. There was, like, literally, aside from that last bit, there was nothing memorable about that show. And I don't understand why they played it so bland. So that was frustrated me a little bit.
I like that song. I think that it's, we will agree to
disagree. It was just boring.
It was boring. But like
the song is fine.
Yeah, but the song is also nominated. It was like an easy way to like get rid of a performance in the middle of the show, basically, to have just
no. The song is fine. Like, I think. Sorry.
No, that was all I was gonna say. It was like he would have performed it at some point anyway. Like, I guess like there is a case to be made for more of like an opening we just saw James Corden do for the Grammys, he did a thing for the Grammys, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that, like more theatrical, but it got everybody like up off their feet in their seats. It sucks that that was probably the most excitement the crowd felt.
It was
like
a highlight.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that they kind of have to like, for the Oscars, because it runs so long and it's like a notoriously dry environment because the bar is like out in the lobby and everybody gets tired, it was like, let's pump them all up now and make this a dance party and stuff. Like, it was more simple than we're used to.
I think they didn't do a La La Land opening, although that's what you would expect because that's what Jimmy Fallon did at the Globes. and that was like a very La La Land with celebrities thing. So that would have made more sense because it's like, but you have a movie that's about Hollywood and it's a musical. Yeah. So like, but whatever. I just, yeah, it was not an exciting show. There were very exciting moments in terms of like who won the awards, but the show was not exciting.
Yeah, exactly. So let's move on into the news. Now we have a couple of different stories. Not too much this week because it hasn't been too long since the last recording, I don't think. And you know, with the Oscars, it's just been kind of a quiet news week. But the first one, I guess that's Pam.
Yep, that's me. We talked a little bit a few weeks ago about how Ben Affleck was stepping down as director of the upcoming solo Batman movie, and now we have news of who is going to be replacing him as director. He's going to be, allegedly, according to his original statement that announced he was going to be stepping down, like, sounds like he's still going to be very much involved maybe in the collaboration process, but he's definitely taking a backseat. So our director is actually going to be Matt Reeves, will also be producing the project, and he, you've probably seen some of his movies, actually. He did War of Planet of the Apes, which I really enjoy the Planet of the Apes movies, like the last three that have come out, I've really enjoyed those. And he also did Cloverfield, so definitely has a lot of experience with big budget action movies and also movies that involve CGI and stuff like that. So it seems like a good fit for that. But above all else, the most important thing is that he seems to genuinely be a fan of Batman. When WB announced that he was going to be taking over as director, he released a statement where he said, quote, "I have loved the Batman story since I was a child. He is such an iconic and compelling character and one that resonates with me deeply. I'm incredibly honored and excited to be working with Warner Brothers to bring an epic and emotional new take on the Caped Crusader to the big screen." So yeah, I mean, like, I'm good with this. I don't know if like any of you have like huge attachments to Batman. I feel like Batman, it kind of like Spider-Man, is becoming an overdone blockbuster situation because they just keep remaking it. But as far as like a director goes, he seems like a good fit just based on what he's done before.
He seems fine. Yeah. I think for me, I mean, let's be honest, I was never like super into this, but I liked the idea of Ben Affleck. I don't know why. I just like the idea of him taking it on as like a total passion project and just immersing himself so completely in it. So now, you know, like you said, there is a little bit of that Spider-Man feel where it's quote unquote just another one. Whereas we know the Spider-Man one at least is going to be a little different, but because Batman is already sort of established within the current DC universe, I don't know how different we can expect it to be from what we know already. But I guess, you know, let's give it the benefit of the doubt, like we try to do with everything, you know. I like Cloverfield. It's a good start.
I like Cloverfield. All I can see in my head when I hear news about Ben Affleck now, though, is just sad Affleck, that, like, meme. So I just imagine him, like, reading this news and being like, oh. Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to Star Wars. This is a bit of a different news story, but I do want to bring it in because I think this is super interesting and long overdue. There's a new rumor out that for the upcoming 40th anniversary of the release of A New Hope, I guess it was called Star Wars back then in May, there will actually finally, at long last, be the unaltered original versions of the original trilogy. This rumor has come out many, many, many times, but this one is, according to Danya, who wrote the story on Hyperbole, is a lot more believable because of the source that it came from. The reason that this has never happened before is obviously it's rooted in a huge, huge fandom politics feud that goes back until Star Wars was first released, in that the people who originally fell in love with Star Wars when it was released in cinemas, or people who just want the original experience, are clamoring for George Lucas to give up the original edition, so to speak. But George Lucas has actually done everything in his power to delete them from existence because, in his view, they were quote-unquote works in progress. The way that he originally filmed Star Wars, you know, what he wanted, we've all seen the prequel trilogy, like we know what the style that he was going for is and what he was hoping to achieve. So adding in CGI elements and remastering it and recoloring it and recutting it and changing, you know, the famous Han shot first thing came out of the original cut showing Han shooting Greedo first, and the redone Greedo shoots first, so Han doesn't seem like so much of a bad guy. So you get into questions of which is the real Han Solo, and all of that is just sort of a really interesting. And there's documentaries about it, and there's books written about it, and it's a huge thing. So the fact that they might finally actually be released, they would have to be recreated, because I think the original versions are actually physically gone. I might be wrong on that, so someone please correct me. This is very exciting. I don't know if any of you guys are really into this, but I've always wanted to see the originals just because.
Mm. Yeah, I'm down for this. I remember watching, I mean, like, when I first saw Star Wars, it was like I was, you know, on a VHS. I remember vividly checking it out from a library, which I ended up working at later in life. But I think I always must have been in middle school or high school or something. They re-released the movies in theaters, like the original trilogy. They re-released them. And I remember being so excited about it, especially because the local theater where we went to see it, we've seen like Harry Potter movies and stuff like that. They're like every major movie we've seen there. We got to see Star Wars there. It's just a one screen theater house. And George Lucas, who lives in like near my hometown, he lives in our county, had pumped all this money into the theater. So we were seeing it with like the best sound system at the time and like in the best digital screen possible. And it was so exciting. And it just brings the whole community together, because Star Wars is one of those things where, like, no matter how old you are, like, you can still enjoy it. So I would just be excited just for that community aspect. And just also because, like you said, it would be interesting to see the original films. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so exciting. Oh my God. I'm so excited. Like, guys, enthusiasm. This would be incredibly exciting. I mean, I'm super interested in this just from the perspective of like what it says about canon and creator ownership. And, you know, there are so many interesting things at play here, but it basically comes down to like, just go away, George Lucas. So this would be exciting, but also surprising to me if, like, I mean, I know that this is a more reputable source, but he has basically spent his entire career stopping this from being a possibility. So I guess we'll wait and see. I take this with...
Maybe he finally got tired.
he seemed pretty insistent on it. So I don't know. But we'll wait and see. And,
you are also talking about a man who's notorious for holding grudges. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess, you'll make some more money. That's for sure. If it happens, I will be incredibly excited. And it would be so fun both to like get to see the way that the films actually were, because so weird that like that exists and like none of us have seen it. That's such a weird mm-hmm. thing about this thing that we all really love. And then also obviously like it would be so exciting to go and see the original Star Wars in a cinema and have like a midnight screening or like whatever. I don't know. It could be fun.
So we have a little bit more movie news, maybe arguably not as exciting as Star Wars, but we do have a new Cars 3 trailer, and we got a little bit more of a taste of what this movie will entail. So in the new trailer, we see Lightning McQueen, who is struggling to compete with this new generation of high-tech cars, and they're all programmed, engineered to win. So he's trying to basically keep up with these new young guns, and as a result, he suffers this terrible accident, which is, I think we've talked about this before, very traumatizing first trailer for Cars. Like, I don't think anybody saw that coming. So at one point in the trailer, we also see him going back to Radiator Springs. So it definitely looks like he's going to go back to his roots and kind of find the will to come back and be the best racer that he can be. I think I've said this before, I'm not really attached to the Cars franchise at all. I think I enjoyed the first one all right. Didn't really care for the other sequel that came after, but they're really kind of selling me a little bit with these Cars 3 trailers, but maybe I'm the only one. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't care about Cars.
Me neither.
Well, I mean, this is a good representation. Pam is enthusiastic, Zlina and I indifferent.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I have a choice, I'm always going to be like waiting for Incredibles 2, but I am saying,
oh my God,
I'm impressed.
Remember how Incredibles 2 is coming out?
Yes.
I'm so going to die.
Waiting years, decades.
Going to die. Yeah. Yeah,
but, like I said, I'm just impressed that they've like made me care like an M&M's worth, you know?
No, that's true. That is impressive. So, I actually haven't watched the trailer, so I can't comment. That's how, yeah, how little my interest is. Oh, well. Jumping over to superhero news now, we talked last week about the X-Men Supernova movie that is supposedly going to be about Jean Grey, and Simon Kinberg is going to be directing, so we hear. Now we have some news about Gambit from Kinberg. So Gambit is the Channing Tatum movie that they've been trying to get off the ground for a really, really long time. They brought him out at Comic-Con a few years ago, and there still sort of hasn't been any update on that front, so it just keeps going back and forth. But basically, we are now hearing that it is still happening. More excitingly for fans of Gambit, Kinberg said, "We want to make sure we get Gambit right because we want him to be the beginning of a whole new franchise." So I guess maybe this is in light of like Hugh Jackman hanging up the claws as Wolverine. They need something else to be going with. And the X-Men reboot series, they've already done three. It's, you know, hard to know how many more they're going to get out of that. So they're trying to get something else. Are you guys into this idea?
I want to say yes. I do like Channing Tatum.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to like have an opinion on it because there have basically been no details, but they have been, and people have been comparing it a lot to like Ryan Reynolds' involvement in Deadpool, because Channing Tatum has kind of talked about this as like a passion project and something he really, really wanted to do. So I feel like that's exciting. And Gambit is a sort of cult favorite character who a lot of people are very into. So for that group of fans, like, this is very exciting news. If they ever make it, which we'll wait and see.
They also promised that Ghostbusters would be a franchise. So,
yeah, that's true. We'll also like, but Channing Tatum. So, in like 25 years when they're still bringing him out at Comic-Con being like, one day Gambit will happen. We'll, see.
Channing Tatum was also meant to star in the other Ghostbusters, wasn't he?
Oh, aren't they still making that though?
I think they are.
I'm pretending that that's not a thing. I think we're all hoping for an alternate universe where they're just going to focus on.
Well, they could just mesh them together and make it like a Gambit Busters.
Oh, cute.
And there you go. Ghost Gambit.
I'll sign on for that.
So staying within this universe of X-Men, there is some cool news about Bryan Singer's untitled X-Men TV series, which is going to be a thing. Once Upon a Time and Gotham actress Jamie Chung has been cast as one of the lead characters. She'll be playing Clarice Fong, who is described as a sarcastic and lively tomboy. We've previously seen this character who also goes by the name of Blink in the X-Men movies. She was played by Fan Bingbing in the movies. And now she'll be played by Jamie Chung, which is very, very cool. And we love Jamie Chung, and she was Mulan in Once Upon a Time. She did a great job. And we already have Blair Redford cast. He'll play Sam, who is described as a strong-headed Native American leader of the Underground Network. So those are our two main characters so far. The show will focus on two ordinary parents who discover that their children possess mutant powers. Forced to go on the run from a hostile government, the family joins up with an underground network of mutants and must fight to survive. So this is interesting because sort of going off the superheroes move from movies to the small screen with like varying success, just based on this description, I think this looks awesome. Like I love, because the X-Men have always had the possibility of being a little bit more edgy. And I know we have Legion and I know we have these different kinds of stuff, but in terms of just making a palatable, edgy superhero shows about the humans behind the heroes, I think this could be a really good call, because I think one of the reasons I'm not like super into shows like Arrow and The Flash is because it is very like, it's very Technicolor superhero stuff, you know, where this one sounds like it's not actually focused on the people with powers, it's focused on their parents who are trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do. And that to me sounds like a really cool twist on this genre.
I am so excited for this. I think the X-Men is such a great fit for a good TV, like a long-running TV series. They have been forever. There are so many characters they can bring. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I've made it no secret that I'm a big X-Men fan. There's so many characters they can bring in. Like, they deal with such interesting issues. It's such an easy fit. And so I think this is a really cool twist on that, because it could very much just have been, and now we're going to make like X-Men First Class, except it's going to be a series instead of a movie. So this is super fun. Jamie Chung is amazing. So I'm down for that. Bryan Singer is interesting. So I guess we'll see about that. But yeah, it sounds fun, right? It sounds super cool. Yeah. Okay, and just continuing with the superhero TV show, we have some more crossover news from Once Upon a Time to X-Men. We have from Game of Thrones going to Marvel's Inhumans, Ewan Rheon, I believe is how you say it, and I apologize in advance if it's not, who of course is
Rheon,
best known,
right?
Oh, Rheon, sorry, who is best known as Ramsay Bolton on Game of Thrones. We have found out he is going to be starring in Marvel's new series on ABC, Inhumans. So people are very, very excited about this. Of course, we've been kind of seeing, if you've been keeping up to date on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they've been doing the Inhuman storyline there for like a couple seasons now. I mean, technically since the beginning, just that we didn't know that's what we were watching. And now we have found out he is going to be playing Maximus, a member of the Inhuman royal family. And this is the one they're showing in IMAX. So they're going to premiere the first couple episodes in IMAX, and then the rest of the show will be on ABC. But I'm not up to date with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know if any of you guys are. I guess it doesn't seem like you need to be to jump into this, because it's still not totally clear how it all connects. So maybe this is a good one.
I'm not up to date on it either. I really want to. I hear this season is great. So I just got to catch up on it. But I love... It might be Owen. I'm like trying to sneakily look up the pronunciation. I'm totally not sure. But I mean, I love this guy. He is the best at being the worst. But because of Misfits, I still love him. So I'm about this. I'm interested.
I'm on your level, Selena. That's...
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like this is going to be a good character for him, because he kind of gets to do the whole like charming thing while also having a slightly darker vibe to some of his actions. So, you know, I guess we'll see how it works out. But he's so good, like in everything. Yeah. He's really great. So I sort of don't have any doubt that he won't be able to carry this off if they've cast him. I think they know what they're doing.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So moving from the supernatural to the sitcom, Modern Family. We've got a little bit of Modern Family news. This is all speculation. We should point that out from the get-go. But The Hollywood Reporter filed a story just kind of making everybody aware that 20th Century Fox has not yet begun contract negotiations with, like, the big leads of the series, which includes Sofia Vergara, Julie Bowen, Ty Burrell, Eric Stensry, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and Ed O'Neill, even though they're about to wrap up filming on season 8. So that kind of is a little bit of a red flag for people wondering if the show's going to get renewed for another season. And the big tie up here seems to be kind of like an internal discord between 20th Century TV and ABC, who hosts the show, because it's so expensive to keep up. I mean, we've seen this time and time again when you have shows that do so well, like Modern Family is one of the best comedies on television right now. It's one of the highest rated. It's one of the most popular. So naturally, you know, the actors make a lot of money. It's kind of like Big Bang Theory status, where they have these exuberant amounts, you know, funneling out into the actors' pockets because, you know, they've demanded pay raises, and as they should if the show is doing so well. So it looks like it's all tied to money. Nothing to be too worried about yet, because again, we won't know until we know, but it is just something to keep in the back of our minds. And it is very interesting anytime contract negotiations come up, just to see, you know, what happens with those. Although the show has been running for a while, so it wouldn't be surprising if it did end up winding down and coming towards that inevitable end. But jury's still out on whether we'll get a few more seasons, or, you know, it's coming up on its swan song, basically.
Yeah, ABC is the I guess it's not the only one, but it definitely has a lot of really, really, really long running shows, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because it has Grey's too, and you know.
But why? I mean, why kill a good thing? I guess that's their motto.
That's the thing, is that they have these long staples that kind of, I mean, we all know Modern Family runs in circles and repeats storylines, but people love it. So like, why the hell would they stop now? I think I included in the article too that Eric Stonestreet said last year that he sort of felt like the show was beginning to ramp down, you know, like they want to finish on a high, so they don't want to drag it out for too long. But he expected that it would have a couple of more seasons in it. So it would be... it would be unexpected if they didn't manage to find a balance, because the actors, I mean, they want more money, but they also, I guess, want to stay on for a couple more years. So I'm sure they can work something out. But I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
If Modern Family goes out, then The Big Bang Theory will be the only sort of staple comedy really left. Could be interesting. Shake it up a little bit.
And it's interesting, too.
Imagine if one of them was funny, too. That'd be great.
I know. That would, like, shaking it up with actual comedy.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned, like that Eric Stonestreet was so, like, frank and honest in his answer, because in contrast, Jim Parsons recently told the Today Show that despite the fact that Big Bang Theory contracts are coming up and they haven't really reached negotiations, like, he was just like, oh, everybody wants to come back for season, I think, 12 that they're on or something like that. And so that is interesting that, you know, you have like two different answers where it's like one person being like, oh, don't worry, everything's fine. Another person being like, oh yeah, like the good things can't last forever. So we'll see.
Oh, it's me. We'll see. So Doctor Who has announced America in premiere date now, and that came along with a new trailer for season 10. So the show is coming back on BBC America for its 10th season on Saturday, April 15th at 9/8 Central. The new trailer features and is narrated by the new companion, Bill, who looks so cool. Like, we've talked about her before. I feel like she's a lot like Piper? What's her name? Billy Piper. Rose. I feel like she has a little bit of a Rose vibe to her, which I think is cool. And I'm excited to see where that goes. We also finally, related to this, have a American release date for Class, which I know some of our listeners might be even more excited about, because we've kind of talked about that on the show before. This is the spin-off by Patrick Ness, who we've also talked about quite a lot on the show before. And I'm not up to date with Class, but I have watched like the first four or five episodes of season one. So I'm like, I should just watch it the rest, because I think there's only eight. But it's a really, really, really good show. It's really funny. It's really dark. It has that British teen comedy vibe that's kind of a little bit raw, but because it's Doctor Who brand, it's not as raw as like, say, Misfits or Skins or something. So it fits that middle ground pretty well, and it has some really cool plot twists and some really cool characters, and I highly recommend Class. So that's coming directly after Doctor Who on April 15th at 10/9 Central. So it'll be an evening of Doctor Who those Saturdays.
What about an Australian release date?
I don't know.
When do I get to see it?
On his post. When do Danish people get to see it?
Well, you said you've already seen it. I haven't seen it.
I saw it on the British channel.
Oh. I haven't seen it yet. And I love Patrick Ness. Well, I'm not watching Doctor Who, but I am very excited about Class. This is Stephen Moffat's last season, right?
It is.
Yeah, so I'm going to start watching next season. I've decided. Yeah. For my own mental health, I'm just not going to even attempt it. Although Bill does look like a cool character, but I really want to watch a Class. Someone in Australia, tell me how I can do that, please. Okay. And just to wrap up, one last piece of TV news for those people who've got their eyes on David Diggs's pilot, or the project that he's doing for ABC. So this is, just to be super clear, he's not starring in this. This is the thing that he is producing. This is about the rapper who runs for office as a publicity stunt and then gets elected. And then everyone's like, oh, wow, you're actually quite good at this. So plot twist from current events. Now we are hearing that Lea Michele has joined the project. So a couple interesting things to this. First of all, sounds like they're tailoring the role. She was meant to be his sort of female foil on the show, and then I presume love interest. Sounds like they're tailoring it towards her now. And there might be some, you know, musical showcasing, understandably, if you've got Lea Michele. The other part of this is that in order to do this, Ryan Murphy had to let her out of her contract for Scream Queens. So even though apparently we were not getting season three, it seems like this might be just another nail in the coffin for that. Although I know some people did not really like her on Scream Queens, so maybe they will like her more on this. But exciting time for Daveed Diggs fans and Glee fans. Sad news for Scream Queens fans.
I'm cool with this. I think this is cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, sounds fun, right?
Mm-hmm. So that brings us to the end of the news, and we're going to move into TV show of the week before dealing with your listener feedback. And I know Pam has been checking out one of the new shows.
Yeah, I was taking a look at the doc, to be quite honest, around like an hour before we started recording, and I wasn't sure if anybody was going to have a TV show of the week, so I rushed over to Netflix to watch Santa Clarita Diet so we could.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that dedication.
I did it for you guys, basically. But I really liked it. I ended up watching the first two episodes. I know there's been a lot of controversy about, like, people hyping it up to be this revolutionary show, and of course there are, like, dark comedy zombie entities that have come before it, but I really enjoyed it. It kind of, to me, what really sucked me in was the idea of, like, suburbia and this, like, this working, like, mom basically having this secret to hide reminded me a lot of Weeds, and I was a huge fan of Weeds when it was on Showtime. It's not like Weeds at all, but just, like, that's kind of what sucked me in to begin with, and it's really funny, and I really like the first two episodes, and I'm excited to watch more. I think I didn't expect it to suck me in as well as it did, but yeah, it's just a really fun show. It's really funny. It hits all the marks, and definitely if you like dark comedies and things like that, like, I would recommend checking it out for yourself if you've kind of been a little bit hesitant about it, because it's really good.
Okay, well, that's cool. So full disclosure, I am completely inundated with The 100 right now. Like, I am just, I feel like I spend, like, every day from morning till evening just writing one type of article or another about it and trying to figure it out and trying to just preview and interviews and stuff like that. So there's so much cool stuff happening over on Hyperbole with that, but that also means that I have had no time to watch anything else. So I have nothing, but I will say on The 100, because I know we have our season 3 special coming up soon, and I don't want to give any specifics because Pam and Marimar are super close to actually being able to watch it. We're 4 episodes in now, and it's just, it's really, really good. I'm very impressed. Like, of course I was expecting it to be good, but I wasn't expecting it to be this good. I think the show has really reached an interesting platform of just tackling leadership tactics and politics and the, you know, lying and telling the truth and how to be a good or bad leader, how to be a good or bad person is sort of a theme that has been running through the show the whole time. And in season 4, it's really coming to the forefront, and I'm digging it, and it's really dense. And it's honestly, there's so many layers to unpack about it, which I love. So, I mean, we had an article go up on Hyperbole yesterday, which was a guest piece from a lawyer working in Washington who talked about how they actually use the show to debate things. You know, they will bring up different parallels that the show tackles to real life politics and historical events and sort of find themselves reassessing their own political stances based on what happens or how they interpret what happens in the show. And stuff like that, I feel like, is one of the main reasons why fiction matters and why we talk about fiction and how especially sci-fi can sort of shine a light on real life. So, so cool and so awesome. And I'm really into it. And I'm really into people sort of bringing that to show discussion too. So, I can only recommend it for like the 6,000th time. And I think next week we'll be doing our season 3 special. So we'll get back to that. I know you guys have been waiting for it, and we're really sorry it's taking this long. It's just been a scheduling thing. And I think that's everything. I think that's TV show of the week. So let's dive into listener feedback.
This would usually be the time where we insert our Patreon bonus segment, where we like to ask our patrons to submit ideas for us to talk about. Unfortunately, we had a really, really, really quick turnaround between episodes this week, as you will notice when this one pops up. a lot sooner than a lot of you probably thought it would. So we're very sorry about that. But now that we're going to be regularly scheduling recording times again, that's not going to be an issue. And we really appreciate all of your guys' support. We can't wait for you guys to submit topics for us to discuss next week and in weeks to come. So thanks for bearing with us as we get our schedules in order.
Mm-hmm. So let's tackle the listener feedback that we do have, which comes mainly from Twitter this week. So Merrim and Pam, do you want to just start going down the list?
Sure. Our first tweet is from our friend Yuki, who designed our amazing banner.
Yeah.
Has everyone seen our amazing banner? Which is amazing. Like, has 8,000 hidden things in it, and I don't think I've even found them all yet. So go over to – it's on Twitter, right? If you go over to Twitter, we're at HyperBullHype. And it's on our Patreon as well. You can look at it. It's so fun. It's so cute. We're in there and like we're talking about fandom and we're in like the Gryffindor common room or something. It's adorable. Anyway, all of this to say, Yuki says about last week, but honestly, the iguanas, Pam, that one is for you. And then this one is for me. I can't wait for the Simon Homo Sapiens movie, one of my favorite books that I read last year, for sure. Very exciting.
Abby Lee says, my first thought was, oh no, Merrim's going to be so upset. And I'm assuming this was something in relation to the Oscars.
That was about Star Trek Beyond.
Oh no.
Yep. Thank you guys for sending your condolences my way. I truly appreciate it. It was a hard time. I'm still dealing with it. We have a tweet from Megan, except we might save this one for our Gilmore Girls mini feedback special that we're going to do. I feel like that would be
a good time to do it. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a very good idea.
Yeah. She also says about our banner, that is the cutest. I love it. Thank you so much. Well, I mean, we didn't make it, but, you know, we also love it. We're glad you love it.
We have another tweet here from Beef-ish question mark who says, have you seen this week's Arthurian legend themed Legends of Tomorrow? Thoughts? I feel like
damn it, I meant to watch
guys.
It Pam, I have a feeling we're gonna like it.
Okay, well, I have not caught up on Legends of Tomorrow. The first few episodes honestly did not impress me very much, but I might tune in just for this.
I mean, surely you
need to watch this one. Right. Yeah, we have to actually make a point to watch that for next week. I was told by somebody that I needed to watch it. I totally blocked it from my mind. I'm so sorry.
I want to watch it. Can I watch it?
Yeah, let's all watch it.
Of course.
Well, I don't know if I'm in the Merlin Club, so sometimes I feel left out.
Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We're in it now.
Yeah, and we're going to make you be like fully immersed in it soon. So
yes. I'm very excited for this. No spoilers for future plans. Okay, we have a tweet from Callie who says, catching up on Hype Gilmore Girls specials at work, listening to season 7 and literally sobbing all over my keyboard. Hashtag RIP me. Oh, that's sweet. Thanks, Callie.
And we have one more Gilmore Girls theme tweet here from Myra, who sent us a clip of Milo Ventimiglia on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, where he just kind of blew everybody's minds when he stated, he posed the question, basically, which of Rory's boys were actually Team Rory? So...
obviously, Jess.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jess
not
is the
even
only one.
Obviously, Jess. Yeah. He, like, championed her the whole time.
Yeah,
by the
way,
if you guys haven't seen this clip, it's great because Milo also has a sling and he just, like, starts pulling all this stuff out and he rolls with Jess pins. So he's just, like, a treasure, basically.
I saw him tweeting Lin-Manuel Miranda the other day about, like, his mom watching Gilmore Girls on the way to the Oscars, and I was like, oh, Jess, still perfect. Hashtag RIP me. Okay, we have one last tweet here from Sarah Vance who said, yay, you did it! $100! That's about our Patreon goal. We are so excited. Ooh. If we didn't mention that already. We also need to set a new goal now. And we would be super interested to hear if you guys have something in particular that you would like us to do, because... it's all like really helpful for us, but we want to make sure that like you get a fun reward from it too. So maybe if you have an idea, we're going to do the DVD commentary. If you have an idea of something else fun that you would like us to do once we hit the next goal that we will set at some point, let us know. That would be really helpful and interesting to hear.
Yep. And we're going to wrap up with two emails now. And Mary and Pam, you can just split those between you as well.
You want to go fast?
Sure. This one says, hey, hi, longtime listener, first time emailer. I'm a big Hemingway fan. Me too. And immediately perked up when I heard Pam recommend a book about how Hemingway wrote The Sun Also Rises. Anyway, I could grab the title so I can read it over the summer. Thanks for the great show. Lots of love to my favorite podcasters, Cam W. Well, Cam, lucky for you, I have my list of books that I have read the past 6 months handy. So let me just pull up my... my Goodreads account here and see if I can find it really quick for you. It's really, really good. Highly recommend it if you, like Cam and I, are a fan of Hemingway. The book is called Everybody Behaves Badly, The True Story Behind Hemingway's Masterpiece, The Sun Also Rises by Leslie M.M. Bloom. And it's an incredibly easy read. Also, Cam, I'm sure you've read this before, but for anybody that's looking to kind of get into Hemingway, highly recommend the book A Movable Feast, which is just beautiful. If you've never visited Paris, you will feel like you were there. And if you have visited Paris and long to go back, you'll really like the book. So there you go.
Cool.
Awesome. And we have one last email. This one says, this is from Becky. And Becky says, hey, Hypes. So I definitely agree with both Pam and Marama about Disney's new Beauty and the Beast. I was so excited when I first heard about the movie, but now it's looking to be a stale repeat. For me, hearing each new song just drives a stake into my heart. However, if you're looking for a fresh Beauty and the Beast movie, I highly recommend Chris. Okay, guys, I can't speak French, so someone read this for me.
La Belle et la Bête.
Okay, there we go. 2014. It's beautiful and really wonderfully acted. Wow, my French accent just super improved. Best Becky. That's cool. So you don't have to watch that weird... What was that weird, like, beastly or something?
Oh, yeah, with like, Vanessa Hudgens and mm-hmm. Alex Pettyfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have to watch that. You can go and watch this, and it's French, therefore it will be better. So
mm-hmm. I feel like
thank you for that recommendation.
This is great. I'm glad that she reminded us of this because I feel like I remember hearing about this and I never actually watched it. So good to know you liked it, Becky.
So that brings us to the end of our show for the week. This was short and sweet, and we really enjoyed talking about the week's news stories and getting your feedback. If you want to send in your feedback for next show, you can do that by emailing hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter @hypeablehype. You can find us on Instagram if you want to send us feedback through there, and that is also @hypeablehype. And you can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com, and you can find us on Hypeable itself, which is hypeable.com. if you haven't yet, please consider supporting us on Patreon. We really appreciate it, and we hope that the perks that we have made available are to your liking. If there's anything that you want to suggest for us via our Patreon, then please feel free to do that as well, because it's a work in progress, you know. It's we're learning as we go, and we want to give you guys what you actually want, not just what we think you want. So so always open to suggestions on that count. And if you're not interested in our Patreon, totally cool, you'll still get the show, no fuss, no problem. But we would like to maybe ask you if you use iTunes, or if you subscribe to us, please subscribe to us on iTunes. It helps us a lot. And if you want to give us a 5-star rating too, that helps. Every little helps, as Tesco says. And it would just mean a lot to us if you did that, if you enjoyed the show. And our 100 podcasts, I believe we will let you guys know the final details of that. But I believe we finally scheduled a time for it, and it'll be next Tuesday. So March 7th, I believe. So it's a little bit of a jump in time, but it's gonna happen, and we are really excited to finally get around to reading all your feedback too, because you have sent in a lot, because we asked for it, and you guys are the best. So that should be a lot of fun. And you can check out a recent interview that I did with a language creator, David J. Peterson, and a composer, Tree Adams. They are both up as podcast segments too, and you can find them on Tumblr and in different places. So if you want to hear more about how we talk about the Oscars, you can head over to Patreon and follow us, support us on there, and you can listen to our Oscars bonus segment. And if you're not interested in that, that's fine. We'll just see you back here next week for another week of hype. Until next week, my name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Marima.